Demons, Fyodor Dostoevsky. Chapter 2. The End of the Fate. He would not see me. He had shut himself up and was writing. At my repeated knocks and appeals, he answered through the door, "My friend, I have finished everything. Who can ask anything more of me?" "You haven't finished anything. You've only helped to make a mess of the whole thing. For God's sake, no epigrams, Stefan Trofimovich. Open the door. We must take steps. They may still come and insult you." I thought myself entitled to be particularly severe and even rigorous. I was afraid he might be going to do something still more mad. But to my surprise, I met an extraordinary firmness. "Don't be the first to insult me, then. I thank you for the past. But I repeat, I've done with all men, good and bad. I am writing to Darya Pavlovna, whom I've forgotten so unpardonably till now. You may take it to her tomorrow, if you like. Now, merci."
"Stepan Trofimovich, I assure you that the matter is more serious than you think. Do you think that you've crushed someone there? You've pulverized no one, but have broken yourself to pieces like an empty bottle."
Oh, I was coarse and discourteous. I remember it with regret.
"You've absolutely no reason to write to Darya Pavlovna. And what will you do with yourself without me? What do you understand about practical life? I expect you are plotting something else. You'll simply come to grief again if you go plotting something more."
He rose and came close up to the door. "You've not been long with them, but you've caught the infection of their tone and language. Dieu vous pardonne, mon ami, et Dieu vous garde. But I've always seen in you the germs of delicate feeling, and you will get over it, perhaps. Après le temps, of course, like all of us Russians. As for what you say about my impracticability, I'll remind you of a recent idea of mine. A whole mass of people in Russia do nothing whatever but attack other people's impracticability with the utmost fury and with the tiresome persistence of flies in the summer, accusing everyone of it except themselves, cher. Remember that I am excited, and don't distress me. Once more, merci for everything, and let us part like Karamazinov and the public. That is, let us forget each other with as much generosity as we can." He was posing in begging his former readers so earnestly to forget him. Quant à moi, I am not so conceited, and I rest my hopes on the youth of your inexperienced heart. How should you remember a useless old man for long? Live more, my friend, as Nastasia wished me on my last name day. Ces pauvres gens, quelquefois de mots charmants, pleins de philosophie. I do not wish you much happiness. It will bore you. I do not wish you trouble, either. But, following the philosophy of the peasant, I will repeat simply, live more, and try not to be much bored. This useless wish I add from myself. Well, goodbye, and goodbye for good. Don't stand at my door. I will not open it."
He went away, and I could get nothing more out of him. In spite of his excitement, he spoke smoothly, deliberately, with weight, obviously trying to be impressive. Of course, he was rather vexed with me, and was avenging himself indirectly, possibly even for the yesterday's prison carts and floors that give way. His tears in public that morning, in spite of a triumph of a sort, had put him, he knew, in rather a comic position, and there never was a man more solicitous of dignity and punctilio in his relations with his friends than Stepan Trofimovich. Oh, I don't blame him, but this fastidiousness and irony which he preserved in spite of all shocks reassured me at the time. A man who was so little different from his ordinary self was, of course, not in the mood at that moment for anything tragic or extraordinary. So I reasoned at the time, and heavens,
What a mistake I made. I left too much out of my reckoning. In anticipation of events, I will quote the first few lines of the letter to Darya Pavlovna, which she actually received the following day. "Mon enfant, my hand trembles, but I've done with everything. You were not present at my last struggle. You did not come to that matinee, and you did well to stay away. But you will be told that in our Russia, which has grown so poor in men of character, one man had the courage to stand up and, in spite of deadly menaces showered on him from all sides, to tell the fools the truth, that is, that they are fools. Oh, ce sont des pauvres petits vauriens et rien de plus, des petits fools. Voilà de mots. The die is cast. I am going from this town forever, and I know not whither. Everyone I loved has turned from me. But you are a pure and naive creature. You, a gentle being whose life has been all but linked with mine at the will of a capricious and imperious heart. You who looked at me perhaps with contempt when I shed weak tears on the eve of our frustrated marriage. You who cannot in any case look on me except as a comic figure. For you is the last cry of my heart. For you my last duty. For you alone. I cannot leave you forever thinking of me as an ungrateful fool. A churlish egoist, as probably a cruel and ungrateful heart, whom, alas, I cannot forget, is every day describing me to you. And so on, four large pages. Answering his, "I won't open," with three bangs with my fist on the door, and shouting after him that I was sure he would send Nastasya for me three times that day, but I would not come, I gave him up and ran off to Yulia Mikhailovna.